blessings. Father, we pray that you give us grace in the coming year to be your light into the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm opening my Bible to Matthew chapter 25. And you could certainly do that too if you want. So you just heard a reading of the gospel. The NIV here calls it the sheep and the goats. And we've talked about this before. I've told you about goats that I had. I'm not going to go into too much about goats this year. This is the feast of Christ the King.
Amen.
That's the day that we are honoring or celebrating today. It is the last Sunday of the church year. We begin Advent next Sunday, the beginning of a new church year. And a few years ago, had this epiphany of understanding, why is Christ the King on the last Sunday of the church year? Well, because that is the culmination of everything, basically, that he is Christ the King. We are really, Americans, we've talked about this before, Americans really don't understand the concept of a king. We don't know what a king is. Now we've heard about kings, you know, but we don't really get an idea of what a sovereign power is or even what that looks like. We can try and conjure up ideas if we think way back to King George of England, you know, who we rebelled against way back in 1775. Remember that? On the 18th of April in 75, hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day or year, the midnight ride of Paul Revere. But you know what? That was over 200 years ago. And we don't really understand that kind of oppression that the, you know, Americans were under at that time. So, you know, what is a king? Our next example that we could kind of look at in the Western world, I'm going to move this a little bit so it doesn't rock back and forth, but it is anyway. Our next example is the English royal family. You know, we think especially of Queen Elizabeth II, but you know, even the British really don't have a conception of what a sovereign power is, because they have a democratic government, a parliament that really does all the work and holds the power, most of it. So poor King Charles and the royal family, they constantly fight off this question, do we need you? Are you relevant to the society of England anymore? You know, in bad times and bad seasons and economic troubles in England, you know, the question becomes much more acute and they wonder why the royal family is so expensive. And in good times, the popularity of the royals grows and surges and the British love the tradition of the family that they have a king. Yes, a king. And so the royal family's people constantly work at public relations. I mean, what a nightmare, just to remain relevant in the world. You see, the problem is that in today's world, in today's society, a king is not relevant. I mean, who has kings, right? Who has real sovereign kings? The title is antiquated. It's outdated. It's relegated to the past. It's history. Sure, there were some sovereign kings in the world in the day, even in England. But we don't really understand that. I mean, we've grown up in, you know, this republic that we live in, which rebelled against a king. And so it's difficult for us to understand the role of our king. We have no reference. You know, we didn't have that role model growing up. But let's see if we can get a little closer to the idea of the king using the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. You see, in the gospel today, Jesus makes it absolutely clear that God the Father has made Jesus king. He is enthroned. In verse 31, he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. And you know, if we go backwards the last 2 weeks, the parables that we've been studying over the last 2 weeks and the reading today are about the judgment of the church. Ooh, judging the church? Uh-oh. The very first 2 weeks ago, Father David talked to you, remember, about the 10 bridesmaids, the 10 virgins, you remember, 10 bridesmaids, and they had to have their oil filled, and he said that the oil was faith. Father Bill talked about the three servants last week who were entrusted with talents of gold, and they were supposed to take those talents and do something with them, except bury them into the sand. You see, those two parables are about using your resources, your faith, for the king. They're about not wasting your life. And then today, in the gospel that we hear today, he speaks plainly. And while the once saved, always saved idea is really comforting, you know, Jesus makes it clear that we will be judged. From the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, you know, to the talents today, Jesus leaves no doubt about that. We have three definite examples right here. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. Again, in Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. He speaks plainly here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, you see, this one, compared to the last two, is not a parable. It's a description of a future scene of judgment after the glorious second coming of Jesus. He will sit on his throne of glory. Now, you know, you might, time to die, you meet people who say, oh, yeah, I remember Jesus. He's really kind of a wise man, and I appreciate his teachings. I'm not convinced that he's the Son of God or anything like that, but he really had some good stuff to say, and I try to live my life by him, you know? You know what this really means? This means they haven't read the Gospels. Because if they had gotten to this verse that I just read to you, they would have to throw that idea out. Sit on his throne in glory, he says. Well, if he isn't God, then he's a delusional megalomaniac and not a great teacher, but crazy. So why would they say that? He's a wise man, and I appreciate his teachings. No, if he's not God, he's crazy. And he's not crazy. So then he talks about the sheep and the goats after he tells us that. He says in verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The people are the sheep and the goats. He says it right there. It's not a parable. Okay. Warning, warning. This is not a parable. Jesus makes it very clear who the sheep and goats are. You and me. The nations, it says. And that's probably more like, you know, Jews and Gentiles, not U.S. and China and, you know, North Korea or anything like that. But he explains to the sheep, and I'll simplify this instead of going through that entire thing. To the sheep, you helped me, so come. To the goats, you didn't help me, so go. There will be a dividing of those who helped and those who didn't. Specifically, things done for others in Jesus' name. You gave food, you gave drink, you sheltered me, you clothed me, you tended my illnesses, you visited me in prison. When? When you helped others. You help people, you help God. That's how he put it together. You see, our faith is outward. That oil that Father Day was talking about is outward. The talents were to be used to help others. That's the kingdom of God. See, to help others, to want to help, you could define as love. It goes right back to the first and greatest commandment, and the second as well. love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus makes it very clear in this passage today that our activities here on earth in our lives are being closely scrutinized. We will be judged accordingly. Now, does this mean that you can be saved through doing good works? Well, if I just go out and clothe people and feed them and visit them in prison, then I'll go to heaven. No. But by being given the title, child of God, son and daughter of the King, by being called heirs of all that God has and all that God gives, to hold the blessings that God has given us, we have a responsibility, and it's to use those gifts for His glory. Do you remember a light hidden under a bowl Jesus talked about? No, you don't put a light under a bowl. You let your light, the light that God gave you, the oil God gave you, follow the groom, the talent God entrusted with you, you let it shine. Use it for God's benefit. Don't hide it under a bowl or bury the talent in the backyard. You know, if Christmas is coming up, right? You're going to get gifts. And if you get a gift and you put it in a drawer, you put it in a closet, you never use it, you know what? It's a wasted gift. Wasted. Why did anybody bother? If you're given a gift, you don't waste it. He gave us gifts. We talked about them. We sang about them today. He gave us gifts so that we could love Him and love others. People, us, on the earth, past, present, and future, will be judged on how we followed the commandment Jesus gave us, on how you used the gifts God gave you to love. That's power. That is sovereignty. That is a king. Sheep versus goats, okay? Goats don't love. There you go. Just remember that. Goats don't love. Maybe that's the name. I don't know. But it's not about the goats. So what really is a king? I'm trying to answer that. Well, it's not King Charles of Great Britain. No, it's okay. What is a king? Power. Absolute power. That's what a king is. It's what it always has been throughout the ages. True king, Caesar, Alexander, whatever, whoever you want to talk about, though, that was power, absolute power. But it says, even then, that the kings of the earth in Revelation 19 will fight. And it says, then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse, Jesus, and his army. Guess what happens? They're cast into the lake of fire and burning sulfur. Well, that's absolute power, otherwise known as omnipotence, all-powerful. You see, just try and think about that. The enemies of God don't even compare. Even if you arrayed the devil and all of his minions and all the current armies of the world gathered together, their nuclear weapons, their smart tanks, their aircraft carriers, submarines, drone fighters, you know, all of them and all the people of the earth who would fight against Jesus gathered together and armed to the teeth, all against the Lord of hosts, he could wipe them away if he chose. And it says he will. That's absolute power. That's what a king is. Speaking of the burning lake of sulfur, one of the things that I thought was, you know, particularly important or notable about that is that, you know, God, it says in the scripture today that we just read, that God did not prepare hell or Hades or Gehenna or Sheol, whatever you want to call it, for humans. It was prepared by God for Satan. Matthew 25:41 in our scripture today. Then he will say to those on our left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And I thought, what an absolutely horrid, alien place for a person to have to go to. It wasn't prepared for people. It doesn't accommodate people. Back to verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And then verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so yet, after talking all of this time, I can come back and say, what does that really mean? What are its full implications? I'm not prepared to say. But I dare not try to modify it or change it. I'm not going to try and analyze this and explain it to you or make it a metaphor. Oh, he's just talking about this, you know, or some way to assure you that there is not a judgment. I can't do that. It's there. He said it. Some are going to hell. Some are going to eternal life. Period. That's what a king is. That is absolute power. I could say that's what you signed up for, but you know, it's not really. I mean, whether you signed up or not, that's what reality is. That's the fate of humankind, whether you believe or not. But that's the amazing thing that is revealed in Christianity as a whole, in all of this book. God's love is revealed to us. God will do everything he can to keep someone from the lake of fire. In fact, he already did. He even sent his own son to die for us, to take our sins, to take the death sentence that we had on himself. He revealed that radical love for us in Jesus. And because of that, you now know the King. Hallelujah. So don't fear the judgment. Instead, just let the Holy Spirit use you and the gifts that he's given you, the talents that you have, the oil that you've been given, to show love to others around you, and then to reach out a little farther and inconvenience yourself and love a little more. Keep your eyes on the job, not the judgment. Don't sit around at night worrying, I'm going to be judged. Just be in him. You have nothing to worry about. Because he sent his son. And his son, therefore, will be enthroned. We have been blessed, and he expects us to use our blessings, whatever they are, for his glory. What that means for you is for you. Can't tell you what it is, but you know. So you see, this is the idea of a king. It's not all just gold carriages and scepters and orbs and footmen and thrones. It's absolute power. That's what it is on Christ the King someday. He makes the decisions. It doesn't matter what the arguments the atheists come up with. He decides. We will be judged. There will be no voting, no public opinion polls, no arguing, and no reprieve. So it's a good thing we know him. In fact, it's a great thing we know him. So we ought to thank him. You know, we ought to do something different. We ought to come here every Sunday and thank him. Wouldn't that be amazing? In fact, you ought to thank him every day. In fact, you ought to thank him every moment that you think about God. Christ the King doesn't need to prove his relevance. He simply is. But what about us? We still have to be relevant as Christians. We need to prove that we have a purpose, that we're here for a reason, that we were given those gifts for something. What purpose can we serve? How can we be relevant to the world? What can the church and all of its sheep do to be relevant in this society? To be sheep and not goats? Well, we can love. We can love people, and we can show love, and we can teach love to others. Because isn't that what the world's missing? Yes. And that's what he asked us to do. No, wrong. That's what he commanded us to do. Those two commandments, love God and love your neighbor, were not suggestions. You see, we do acts of kindness toward others. We love people. We are sheep and we are not goats. So we keep on being sheep and we look for new ways of serving others until he takes us there. No matter what your circumstances are, you can show love. Praise God. So Jesus is a judge. It's one of the jobs of a king. He has and wields absolute power. And he does it on behalf of both the sheep and the goats. He earnestly desires that the goats could become sheep. And in his kingdom, they can. That's why he hasn't come yet. That's why he's waiting. He's waiting so that everyone can come into his kingdom, that none will be left behind. So as many people as possible, past, present, and future, can know his love and can be saved from the lake of fire and share that love with others. So what is a king? Maybe you know now. It's absolute power. He is our sovereign. I can't think of a better sovereign to have. Amen.